All right. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you so much for sharing this evening, and we appreciate that. As I mentioned, I'm not taking our normal route tonight. I should be back on our prayer Bible study, and Lord willing, we'll get back on that next Wednesday. But I wanted to share it's not just like we took a trip, and I want to give you the rundown of afterwards, but I did want to give a spiritual takeaway from the trip that Eugene and myself and Daniel was on. And so if you would turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 17, and it's a passage when you see it. We've been here not a real long time ago. I preached a message from this passage, but this has nothing to do with that message, but the same thought when the Apostle Paul was so overwhelmed because of the idolatry that was running rampant in a particular place that he had come in. In chapter number 17, verse 1 down to about 9, the apostle's been in Thessalonica. You see that in verse number 1 and verse number 2, as his manner was. He was accustomed to go in three Sabbath day reasons with them out of the scriptures. And verse number 3, he was opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. So he was going through his normal presentation. Verse number 4, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And so it's not uncommon, or it's not unlike the other things that Paul has done. Then down in verse number 10, he moves over, he's taken over because of the hostility in some other places. He comes to Berea. And Berean, they were those that group of Christians that searched the scriptures daily. Down in verse number 15, he makes his way over to Athens. But then we see in verse number 16, as he's there and he's going to give his sermon on Mars Hill. But verse number 16 is where we'll start. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he had saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And so I thought about this verse as you make your way, just another verse or two, verse number 18. Certain of the philosophers, the Epicureans and the Stoics, they encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" The Epicureans, so history would tell you, where they were basically hedonistic. Whatever they wanted to do, they were just self-indulgent. "I'll just do what feels good." And much like some of our society now, if I come up with the idea, I'll just do it. And then there was the Stoics. They were more restrained in what they and the way that they lived. And so there was these two that fought with each other. They were fighting with Paul. But then you make your way on down there. And verse number 23, I'll add that to verse number 16 as the text burst for what I want to share with you tonight. He's telling them this: "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" So as we start there, I thought of some of these verses as I was in that country that we were going over to see. I already mentioned on Sunday that 80% are Hindu, another 14% being Muslim, and then another 4% being others, and then 2% Christian. But I thought, as we saw all of these idols and all of these temples and all of these gods that were little g around every shop that you'd go into looking for souvenirs or looking for something, you could hardly buy a big portion of these shops because so many of the souvenirs were their gods. The people that made the trinkets and the knickknacks or whatever you would call it, many of them were images of their gods, and so I didn't want to bring any of that stuff home. But I thought of some of these verses, and later after I'd go back to the room or come on the flight back and thinking about this and thinking about specifically, I'm certainly no Apostle Paul. I don't mean to pretend to be that, but I certainly had this thought that here's this whole region of the world given over to idolatry. Idolatry is anytime you put anything in front of the Lord, you worship something. Of course, we know the Ten Commandments, that we're not supposed to have any other gods before the Lord. And so here's a country that we visited. It's wholly given to the worship of gods, hundreds, thousands of them. And as I thought about some of these verses while we're on this trip, and there's this region totally given to idols, And then in case they happen to miss one, just in case of all the gods that they worshiped, I'm talking about this particular instance here, in case they happen to miss one, then the apostle said, well, there was an ascription to the unknown God, just in case, as if some kind of, we would be able to worship a little god on a technicality and say, well, in case we missed one, we made this idol. And so I just had a few thoughts, and it's not really a Bible study tonight, but it's just on my heart, and I want to share it with you as our church family. I want to give you this first one in verse number 16 and 23 that we've already gone over. Then, as now, the world is and was missing the truth. Now, some of the things I saw over there were so odd compared to where I grew up. I grew up in a place a lot like this. Good old American folks that, even they don't go to church, don't know the Lord, many of them, but they know where to go if they want to know the Lord. Many of the guys I went to school with, they had a Christian upbringing. They may not have been following it in their life, and they may not have been born again, but they knew the basics. I've told you before, but when I was a kid, I remember in our living room there watching TV, and there was a commercial put out by Kroger, the grocery store, and this cartoon figure came out, and they said, my name's Noah. And he said, that's all, just Noah. And he went on to say that Kroger was having a buy one, get one free sale. And he said, my name's Noah. I don't ever buy one of anything. I always get two, making reference to the two by two by two. Well, you understand that in many parts of the world, that would not have made any sense whatsoever. But there in our little burg of where I grew up, it made sense because about everybody that was watching that commercial knew what he meant, two by two. And so that's the way that they were wanting you to buy the things, buy one, get one free. So I grew up in an area much like this. And then to go to this place that we went to in the last 2 weeks or so, I realize that as the Apostle Paul comes into Athens and he finds that they're wholly given to idolatry, just worshiping this and worshiping that. And oftentimes, not only do they worship, but they also involved in many inappropriate lewd acts in worship to these false gods. And I think the world is no different now than it was then, that they're still missing the truth. Now, let me share with you something, because sometimes we get wrong in our thinking, because I've heard it said by some wonderful people, and they would say something like this, well, as long as those folks are sincere. But you understand the faulty reasoning in that is sometimes we think that if a person's sincere, that somehow they'll be okay. But you understand that you don't get any credit, so to speak, for being sincerely wrong. Because there's no other name given among men, given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Amen. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you know, you and I could challenge one another and say, well, how is that fair that you grew up in the little part of West Virginia that you grew up in, and many of you grew up around in this area, and how is it that we could have heard the gospel so many times? I've shared with you before, I don't remember hearing about Jesus for the first time, because I'd been hearing about him before I was born. My mom was taking me to church while she was expecting me, and then wasn't very long after I was born that I was there. And so I don't remember hearing the name of Christ for the first time, because it seems like he's always been in my vocabulary. So how is it that we could have been born like that and then somebody else not? Well, I don't know how to explain all that to us, because I don't know how to reconcile all those things. I just realize, though, that you can't take what you don't understand and let it supersede or override what the Bible very cleanly says. And so it does seem odd, unfair, difficult to absorb and understand or take to accept that there are people over there that have never heard a clear story of Jesus Christ. But that's what puts the pressure on me as a pastor and me as a Christian to be involved in missions to get the gospel around this world. And so I've heard many people say, as long as they're sincere, but the truth of the matter is they need Christ. They're a big buzzword, the phrase that we have now in our culture is your truth. about the same thing. It doesn't matter how much you want to believe something. Your truth, somebody else's truth, doesn't matter if it doesn't line up with the truth. And we've somehow become so impressed with ourselves that when we say, this is what I believe, my friend, if we believe something that's different from the truth here laying in your lap, or the truth that's just out there and is very true because it is true, then it doesn't matter what my truth is. So the world was and still is missing the truth. But I want you to see in verse number 23 what the reaction was when the apostle saw this. Verse number 23, he says that to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, draw your attention to the last phrase, him declare I unto you. So number one, the world was and is missing the truth. But number two, I just thought as I want to share these things with you, the reaction was to declare the one true God. Him I declare unto you. Verse number 24, look at what he told that crowd. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and the earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Sometimes I think about our missionaries, and I'd like to just show us a few things that I've heard from many missionaries. And that is, how do you even begin when you go to a society that doesn't even have any idea about what the Christian faith is? Where do you begin? Well, the Apostle Paul began where I hear many missionaries begin, and that is they go all the way back to the creation. Because I grew up, as I've already told you, and I knew the stories of Daniel, lion's den, Joshua, Moses. I knew all those stories. God created them. They didn't have to teach me those things as I was an older teenager. I'd already heard them when I was a kid. But what about to the people who don't know any of those? Well, what the Apostle did, we see here in verse 24, he took them all the way back to the beginning. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and of earth. And so I give you this as a little ammunition, if you will, or a little way to work in the lives, because we are going to have more and more people who have no idea about the Bible account of God, the Jesus Christ, salvation. We are going to get to have more and more people that we have the opportunity to share the gospel with that have no clue about Jesus. And the Bible principle here is to, one way is to take them all the way back to the beginning, and as you're dealing with somebody, just say, you know, there has to be somebody greater than us to give all of this beauty. And then from there, you've got the platform to go on and talk about the Lord. He made the world. Verse number 25, he doesn't need our trinkets or the things that we have, neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything. That's the God that created, that made the world, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And then in verse number 27, the apostle tells them that he says that they should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. And so we see that the reaction was to declare the Lord, the one true God, unto the people and tell them that that's the God that I'd like to tell you about. And so there's a couple different reasons for tonight. One, I just felt so overwhelmed. I wanted to share with you what the Lord did with me in the heart as I saw so many temples and so many idols that were being worshiped and bowed down to. As we made our way up to that one particular large way up on the rock on the mountain there, as made it all the way up to the top, and there was some priest in there with a strange looking garb, and he was in front of the altar, and he was just the fire was going when putting some stuff on there. I thought, how sad. And the apostle was telling this that, wow, those people who are wholly given to idolatry, and I saw some people that were wholly given to idolatry as well, and the reaction to what the apostle saw needs to be the reaction of all of us, and that is to declare the one true God. We can get mad at people very easy, can't we, when they're not like us? We see people that don't look, talk, act, or believe like us. And we've taken a lot of comfort in being around people who pretty much believe like we do. So much comfort we've taken that if we're not careful, we get perturbed and upset when they are different than us. My friend, you don't need to be upset and sideways about somebody who's not like you. Instead, you need to have compassion and realize that they haven't been given what you've been given. And if there are some differences in the way they live and the society they come from and little preferences they have, that's not as big a deal as we make it out to be. But they oftentimes have not had the teaching that you and I have, and we've took it for granted that the stories about Christ and salvation, it was easy for me to get saved. All I had to do was act upon what I'd been taught all my life. But not so for some of the many of the people, the thousands and thousands of people that I just saw last week. But the reaction as the apostle saw this was to declare the one true God. I'll give you the last thing as we make our way down through this passage is we see that they're supposed to seek the Lord, verse number 27. In verse number 29, for in Him we live and move, have our being. And verse number 31, it gives the validation of what he'd said in the verses prior. Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness. This is why it's so important for us to be involved in getting the message to people. He'll judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection, just in case you think, well, maybe they didn't even understand what he was talking about. Look at what it says in verse number 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was these ones that believed the gospel. So I would just give to you, and the last thought tonight is that the resurrection is what validates the message that the apostle gave. Because you understand that if we take this person that doesn't know anything about your God or your salvation, and we take them all the way back to the beginning and say, well, there's a God that created this, you've got to understand that somebody more intelligent than us, and really it's quite easy to get people to a spot, even if they don't understand, don't know the gospel, don't know God, to say that it's unbelievable that all of this came by accident. Now, the diehard ones will say, oh, no, that's exactly the way it came. But often people that you talk to will say, well, it does stand to reason that somebody, it does stand to reason that someone more capable, more able than us was responsible for this. And as you get them to that point, we say, well, there was a historical time when there were people that saw a man, Christ, that died, was buried, but historically and people would attest that he was walking around after his death. And so what the apostle says to them is that this resurrection validates that message that he was given. And the good thing about you and I, as we share the gospel with different people, we have the truth on our side. It's not just that we came up with it and it's a great story or a scheme that we can, if we could only get people to buy into what I'm selling, then we'd be golden. It's not that. We have the truth on our side. But I noticed in verse number 32 and 33, the same things were happening there as happens now. Some mocked. You'll get some of that. Didn't deter the apostle. But some said, we'll hear you later about this. And there'll be some of that that people give you. Say, yeah, I might talk to you about that later sometime. And then there'll be some that accept it and take it as they go on throughout their lives. And that's still happening today. So as we leave tonight, I wanted to share with my family, church family, that this trip has reignited things or added gasoline to the fire maybe. About what we need to be doing. We need as a church to be continually bringing in our money for our missions as we do every week and sending it to our missionaries. getting them the resources they need so they can keep on punching holes in the darkness, because they, unlike us, although we're getting more like this than we ever have been, they're going to be reaching out to people who are wholly given to idolatry. They're reaching out to people who would, maybe they aren't, but they very well could be giving devotions to the unknown God. They need to declare that God to those people. And we need to keep sending resources so that they have the wherewithal to keep on doing it. And so we need to see our missionaries, both the ones we visited and others, that they're getting it done. But then I know about myself. I need to recenter myself on the gospel here. I need to quit passing people by and just thinking that just because we live in the most beautiful place in our country, I love it right here, just because we live right here and we're blessed to have had very much gospel influence, I need to quit taking for granted that the people you pass and I pass already have all that taken care of. Because there is a thing of being gospel ignorant, you know. Maybe gospel hardened, some of them. That whatever the story might be, that people have grown up around it all, but they've never received the gospel themselves. And then there's people right here amongst us that our area is changing very, very quickly, that people could have grown up right here and still not have had a clear presentation of the gospel. And others have had many, but God's going to use you to mention it one more time, and that be used of the Lord to get them to think about the gospel one more time. So that's what God's done in my heart. One, remind it, Amy and I, we want to continue to be giving to missions so that we can help those two missionaries that we were over there to see and to help, but not only those, the rest of the 100 or so that we support. I want to get all the money I can to them so they can get the gospel to the people who need it. But then right here, since those missionaries aren't here and I am, then I need to be a missionary where I am. And I need to be more alert to the need right around me. So, in some ways, I guess you could say that's my vacation, and I got to come home and share my slides with you to tell you what happened on my vacation break. But it's more than that, I trust. And as I was there, I just thought about these verses that the Apostle Paul, that he was doing in the lives of these people, or saying how they were so blinded, so devoted, but devoted to something that had no salvation in it. And that is the case that's many times repeated around the world and here. And I want to spend my life getting the gospel to people who I know and meet and see. And then the ones that I never see, I want to fund the missionaries that can get it to those areas. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray that this has been a help to people. I know it's been a help to me to just share it with my family. And I pray, dear Lord, that our church could continue, that you'd allow us to never quit being a lighthouse. As a matter of fact, I pray that we could burn even brighter. And Lord, I pray that we get the gospel to people before it's eternally too late. And we'll thank you for what you give to us in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand with us for just a moment? They're going to play "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." Brother Graham's going to come and lead us in that. And if you'd like to come and pray, maybe there's somebody specifically on your heart that you know is not saved. As far as you know, they're not. I'd like to pray for them. Maybe you want to pray specifically for some of our missionaries. Maybe you want to pray for boldness in your own life to get the gospel. That's a wonderful song they've chosen for tonight. "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus."
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow.
being with us tonight and coming together as a church family. Just a couple of words. If you are able to stay with us for just a few minutes and slip over to the gym, we're going to set that up for the ladies' event on Saturday. And then, ladies, please don't forget that 5 p.m. I know you have a wonderful, wonderful time. And then that Bible study tomorrow, a lot going on. And then also, he's got a word that I-81 South has a major traffic jam, and so you might want to use an alternate route. And this is for I-81, not 26 out here, but 81. So just had gotten word about that. So if you're traveling that direction, you might want to think about a different route. So thank you again for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you.